This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, January 31st. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ag sues to block greenhouse gas reporting. Newsom salmon plan and House Speaker's tax bill struggles. Farm groups join lawsuit to block corporate climate laws. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has filed a federal lawsuit claiming that two California laws on corporate climate accountability are unconstitutional and violate the Interstate Commerce Clause. The American Farm Bureau, Western Growers, the Central Valley Business Federation, and Cal Chamber have joined the claim. The lawsuit asserts that SB 253 and SB 261 violate the First Amendment by compelling companies to make public statements that are likely inaccurate or incredibly challenging to verify. Cal Chamber President and CEO Jennifer Barrera argued that reporting on emissions for the entire supply chain is, quote, far from cost effective and will not notably reduce climate impacts. This will be particularly costly for small businesses who do not have the resources to accurately measure their climate emissions, she said. Newsom has a salmon strategy. The Newsom administration repackaged dozens of programs to announce a new strategy for protecting salmon yesterday. The priorities are to remove barriers such as the Klamath Dams, restore habitat, you could think flooding rice fields, protecting flows with minimum flows on the Scott and Shasta rivers and voluntary agreements, modernize hatcheries with ongoing infrastructure maintenance, invest in new technology such as more fish research to inform the Bay Delta plan, and partner with tribes. That's also in the Bay Delta plan. The response? Well, the Golden State Salmon Association, which advocates for commercial fishing industry, called the strategy smoke and mirrors ahead of what's likely a disastrous salmon count. The association, along with environmental groups, urged Newsom to instead abandon voluntary agreements for freshwater flows as well as the site's reservoir and Delta tunnel projects. You can read about U.S. EPA opposing Newsom's fish plan in the AgriPulse West newsletter. It's hitting inboxes this morning. Demand still outpaces conservation funding. Funding for Farm Bill conservation programs has risen sharply thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. But demand? It's growing too. Fewer than one-third of applicants were able to secure contracts through the environmental quality incentives and the conservation stewardship programs in fiscal 23. That despite a $500 million increase in funding authorized by the IRA. That's the finding of a new report from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. The Natural Resources Conservation Service enrolled over 34,000 producers and equip in FY23. That's an increase of almost 2,400 from FY22. Now keep in mind, the IRA added $1.65 billion for equip in FY24, $472 million for CSP. Now for more details on demand for the programs, be sure and read our weekly AgriPulse newsletter today. We also report on the Red Sea and Panama Canal disruptions and look into a growing battle over proposed new packing plant regulations. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. House GOP struggles to get tax bill across the finish line. House Speaker Mike Johnson has his hands full trying to get the bipartisan tax bill on the House floor for a vote. Yesterday, some New York Republicans delayed a procedural motion on an unrelated bill amid reports that they're demanding the tax deal include an increase in the deduction limit for state and local taxes, an issue that's a non-starter for many conservatives. The bill ultimately could be considered via the suspension process, which will require a two-thirds majority and should not be hard to get. But the willingness of a small number of Republicans to use routine procedural measures for negotiating leverage continues to slow down the GOP agenda. By the way, a senior member of the House Ways and Means Committee, Nebraska Republican Adrian Smith, says the tax bill serves as a bridge to next week's expiration of key provision of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. The latest bill includes several business provisions, including a temporary restoration of 100% bonus depreciation and immediate deduction of R&D investments. Smith said of the bill, quote, "It's important for our economy, whether it's agriculture operations or whether it's manufacturing." Smith told AgriPulse he reminds GOP colleagues existing tax provisions wouldn't expire in 2025 had the Senate gone along with the House in 2017 and made them permanent. Setting expiration dates on tax breaks reduced their costs, but it also created uncertainty about the future. Smith said, quote, "When we think longer term, I think we're better off." EPA dropping paraquat report tomorrow. EPA is releasing a preliminary analysis this week on the impacts of paraquat, including the herbicide's potential to contribute to the development of Parkinson's disease. The agency says in the Federal Register it will be posting the document online to address concerns raised by plaintiffs in the case in the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that challenges EPA's 2021 interim decision. That decision imposed a certain mitigation measures on paraquat so it could meet the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act standard for registration. There are currently more than 5,000 lawsuits pending in the federal courts, many alleging a connection between paraquat exposure and subsequent development of Parkinson's. Meanwhile, the latest Pesticide Data Program annual survey shows that less than 1% tested samples had pesticide residues above tolerance levels established by EPA for food items. Tests were conducted on 10,665 samples from 23 commodities, including fresh and processed fruits and vegetables, dairy, nuts, and grains. Now take note, in one special project, USDA conducted residue testing on 309 corn grain samples, finding glyphosate in 73, or 23.6% of them. Glyphosate was detected in 91.8% of soybean samples. Residues that were detected were well below the tolerance levels. Listeria outbreak in stone fruit declared over. FDA and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say a listeria outbreak in stone fruit that resulted in one death and 10 other hospitalization is over. The outbreak was linked to recalled peaches, plums, and nectarines. States with the case include California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, Michigan, and Ohio. Well, here's today's She Said It. Californians must prepare for all possible conditions during the remaining months of the rainy season. That Department of Water Resources Director Carla Nemeth announcing the snowpack is about half of where it should be for this time of year. 1 year ago, it was at 214%. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, January 31st. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.